Hello and welcome to the Carolina Panthers Football In My Mind podcast. I'm your host, Luke Farber, and what is in my mind today? Well, we're coming down to the last week of the season. It's almost over, and unfortunately, we did not make the playoffs this year. Although, beginning where we started this year, it was always going to be a bit of a long shot. I was hoping we'd start the season a little bit further ahead of where we were, especially with Bryce in the offense, but obviously that didn't happen. Now, I was always hoping, you know, when a new regime, a new coach, and new schemes, new front office, new everything like we had in this offseason, and plus like half the roster was new, it just takes a long time for those things to gel, or at least longer than off-season workouts and training camp in the first month of the season. Luckily, after the second month of the season, we started playing much better football, much more competitive on offense and defense. And given the injuries that we had, and like I said, all the new pieces and everything, and the youth of this team, I mean, we were starting a second-year quarterback, two rookie wide receivers, a rookie tight end. You know, these things, with this lack of experience, it's hard to have high measured success in the NFL. But luckily, all of those guys got a lot of reps, a lot of real game reps this year. So hopefully, we can see a lot of growth going into next season. Anyway, that'll be for a later date, obviously. We got a whole 6 to 9 months before things start happening again for next year. But let's finish off this year, right? And let's see what we got here. Obviously, last week was not what we wanted, going into Tampa Bay and getting blown out. You know, after we were able to take down the Cardinals in overtime a couple of weeks ago at home, you know, a potential playoff team that we knocked out, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, we're going to ride this momentum all the way to winning our last three games, and we'll start off on a winning streak next year. And then I saw the injury report, especially on defense. With all the guys that we've lost, we lose another linebacker, Josie Jewell, the only one that was actually a starter at the beginning of the season, and obviously a veteran, a green dot guy, the communicator, the guy that gets everybody lined up in the right spot and calls out, you know, what the offense is doing. So obviously, you put an undrafted rookie who came off the practice squad, who was signed on the practice squad less than a month ago, to take his place, you're going to have a major drop off, unfortunately. And that's just the way it goes. And obviously JC was out as well. Oh, shout out to JC. Hey, congrats, buddy, on the Pro Bowl. It was wonderful to see you healthy this season, and we look forward to more of that in the future. And, you know, congrats on the Pro Bowl. Also, Chuba, Robert Hunt, Johnny Hecker, you guys, you know, screw that alternate shit. You guys deserve to be on the roster. You are Pro Bowlers. Congratulations, especially Chuba. Hey, man, I've been on his coattails all season, and I'm just so happy for the guy to have a great year, get a new contract, get a Pro Bowl nod. He deserves all of it. It was great to see him running at OK State, and it's great to see him running in the Carolinas. All right. Yes, JC was out as well last week. And so obviously, when it came down to it, you know, our run defense has been the worst in the NFL all year. And without those two guys, JC is a fantastic run support corner. And like I said, Josie, with your inside linebacker and communicator, we didn't have a chance to stop Tampa's running game. And it started right from the jump and went all the way into the fourth quarter. And obviously, Baker and Mike Evans are tough at the quarterback and wide receiver position, especially when you don't have JC. Mike Jackson has played some good football. He's, you know, had some rough patches as well, and he gave it his best shot. But, you know, Mike Evans is a first ballot Hall of Famer, and really, if you look at his stats, his production, what he's done with the quarterbacks that he's had, and this is before, you know, the Brady era and now the Mayfield era. You know, you're talking about even going back to Josh Freeman and his, you know, very small window of good play. But there was a revolving door there. You know, obviously you had Jameis, but, you know, not great quarterback play for the beginning of his career. And he's set a record. He passed Jerry Rice for the most consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. So if you can be mentioned with Jerry Rice's name or even pass Jerry Rice's name when it comes to wide receiver statistics, I mean, that's the rarest air there is, obviously. So, yeah. Yeah, we obviously had a tough time with Tampa's offense. And, you know, having Chuba out as well, another part of that injury report, our best player on offense, we were shorthanded again. But given that fact, Bryce played pretty well. Obviously, there weren't a lot of third down conversions, especially early in the game, which, you know, would have allowed us to stay in it longer because obviously we just couldn't stop Tampa Bay's offense. So it, when we could not possess the ball because we couldn't run it or convert on those third downs, we didn't have any chance to stay in the game. That being said, Bryce did not turn the ball over. He threw 2 touchdown passes. You know, it's not the prolific offense that we want, obviously, yet. But, you know, we've outlined why that is. You know, our inexperience, our youth, and just have our lack of playmaking depth. The O-line, the running back room is looking good. I did see, a post online this week about, you know, some fans calling and saying that Jonathan Brooks is done and, you know, we should draft another running back next year. I mean, I'm all for drafting running backs and stockpiling that position because we want to pound the football. Cam Scataboo was brought up and, oh, man, he'd be a great hammer to go with Chuba and Brooks. But I digress. Yeah, a lot of people calling, some people calling that, oh, Brooks is done. But, you know, he might not play next year, obviously, or he might come back in the latter part of the season like he did this year. But those ACL tears are not as uncommon as, you know, for a player to recover and become his full self again in a short period of time. The technology and the surgeries and everything has gotten better, the medical care. So I expect him to make a full recovery. And if he returns to who he was in the like 3 games he played coming back from his ACL tear previously, which, you know, typically they say it takes a little bit longer, you know, to regain full capabilities. You know, he showed that he has power, that he has agility, that he has speed, that he can catch the ball, and he has got some moves that Chuba doesn't. So I'm crossing my fingers that he comes back healthy. I expect him to. Yeah, I wasn't thrilled about drafting an injured running back in the 2nd round this year, but I know that it was, you know, with a focus on the future and seeing what he could do in those 3 games, I agree that he's got a bright future as long as he comes back healthy. And I believe he will. I know he's attacking that rehab. Go through it, JB. We're rooting for you. Keep pounding. Anyway, yeah, we couldn't run the ball without Chuba. I do like Raheem Blackshear, but he's not the workhorse that Chuba is. And obviously getting down that much that early and not being able to convert those third downs to keep the drives going, we just had no opportunity to get him going. Hopefully we'll have some more opportunity this game, but we'll see. So obviously it was an ass kicking last week when I saw that injury report with, you know, Chuba, JC, and Josie out. I switched my pick from the Panthers to the Bucks. So that was a sad thing to do, obviously. And Unfortunately, I may have to do it again this week. I was definitely hoping that all those guys would be back. Obviously, Chuba's on IR, so he wouldn't be back. But I was hoping they'd be back for this Atlanta game so we could do what we can to keep them out of the playoffs. You know, I hate the Bucks and the Falcons. I probably hate the Bucks more than the Falcons, but right now, this year, with the Falcons drafting Penix like they did and signing Cousins and making all of these moves that really may or may not be questionable, who knows? Obviously, if they work out best for Atlanta in the next few years, then they made the right moves. But I would just like to see them fail. I always want to see them fail, but I want to see their arrogance shoot them in the foot. And I want to see us the ones to keep them out of the playoffs. Now, obviously, that's going to be hard. I took a look at the injury report just now, and not only are JC and Josie still out, but we got Lonnie Johnson out, DJ Johnson out, Amari Barno out. We got a lot of guys questionable. I expect those guys to play, but having Barno and DJ Johnson out, that's two more defensive linemen. Our defensive line has just been ravaged, starting with our best player in the first game, Derrick Brown. And yet again, it is, you know, because Barno didn't come back till midseason from an injury, and he's has showed some pass rush ability in that time. And DJ Johnson has had, you know, not the most consistent year, but you've seen his strength at the point of attack and the way he can set the edge against the run and use his power to get to the quarterback. Hopefully next year he can take another step and develop some more pass rush moves, because we need more pass rush. And if he can play the pass as well as he plays the run, we're going to be in good shape. But obviously, we're not in good shape this week. So having all those guys out on defense is puts us almost, you know, in the same position as last week against Atlanta. And Atlanta is a better running football team with a much better pair of running backs in Bijan Robinson and Algiers. So we could be in for a really long day if they're smart and run the ball, which I expect them to do. I've seen they've kind of been protecting Penix as much they can with the running game. You know, he's a rookie. I thought it was funny in Raheem Morris's press conference after his first start that it's like, oh yeah, Penix played a near perfect game. And it's like he completed under 60% of his passes, no touchdowns, an interception, a fumble. And their offense only scored 10 points. So, you know, we'll see how Penix does. But if they lean on the running game like they should, and we continue to play as the worst run defense in the NFL, and we should, especially considering all of those guys being out, then it's going to be really hard for us to not only win this game, but be competitive. Like last week, you know, the thing that is going to help us be competitive is that we have to be able to run the ball, which we couldn't do last week. Hopefully Miles Sanders might be back this week, so that could give us a shot in the arm there. And we're going to have to convert those third downs, especially early in the game, to sustain drives that we didn't do last week, because we can't afford to have three and outs on our first drive and have the Falcons go down and score 17 points like the Bucs did and be down 17 to nothing by the second quarter. It's just, you know, that'll lead to another blowout. So we got to be able to run the ball. We got to be able to convert third downs, especially early, if we want to stay in this game and make it close in the second half and fourth quarter. So that is definitely going to be a challenge. Bryce and the offense is they're just going to have to score more points, obviously. And so somebody other than Adam Thielen is going to have to step up in the passing game. Obviously, Leggett has had his moments. He had his moments in the first half of the season. The second half has been rough for him. He's been hurt. He's been dropping passes left and right. And it just hasn't been great. But like Coach said, you know, all experience is good experience. And he was never the type of wide receiver like a Ladd McConkey, a Ricky Pearsall, you know, the guys up at the top of the draft, like Neighbors and Adunze. You know, he wasn't a polished route runner. And what we've seen from previous years, especially the last 5 to 10, when there have been so many high-quality wide receivers drafted, is that the ones that make the most immediate impact are the polished route runners. And Leggett is much more of a physical specimen than a lot of those guys. He's big, he's strong, he's fast, but he doesn't have quite the refinement to his game that all of those guys do. So he needs more time to get that refinement and be put in the right position to make plays for his skill set. And that is a lot easier to achieve if he doesn't have to be the number one or number two receiver as a rookie, which he has had to be because we just don't have anybody else. So, yes, Leggett's going to have to step. Coker is going to have to continue to have his 1, 2, 3 big first down catches of the game. And it's been a while since JT Sanders has had a decent output as far as catches and yards. Would love to see him get back into the fold this week. It'd be great if those young guys on offense could show out in the last game. Obviously, the defense is just going to struggle. But we'd love to have some positive momentum from the young guys on offense going into the offseason. Excuse me. So, anyway, that's where we stand this week. Unfortunately, like I said, it's going to be a tough one to stick with if we can't produce better on offense early in the game. So, that being said, I think it's probably a 30-20 loss for the Panthers, but Bryce and the offense show some good signs, and we show some fight going into the offseason. That's all we can ask for at this point. So anyway, enjoy the game, Panthers fans. Keep pounding, and I will see you when the season is over. Peace.